Live.
Uncensored.
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
That's right. We are. We're just stoking those coals right now. And, Ted, you heard a couple of my questions. What about if, in fact, these scribes and Pharisees were the those who demanded the death of Christ and the murderers of Christ ultimately, and they are not willing to admit any apologia? What does that make their apologists, if you will, in what is called Christendom today? I mean, from the one extreme of John Hagee to the other of more moderate proportions, and that being the Vatican. What is your perception there, as far as their culpability as well?
Well, spiritually speaking, the Bible teaches that if we turn our back on public identification with Jesus in any way, as John Hagee is doing, where he is prohibiting use of the name of Jesus in prayer or witness in his Christians United for Israel rallies, if in any way we are embarrassed or ashamed of Jesus in this wicked and perverse generation, Jesus says, he will be ashamed of us in the day of judgment. And the fact of the matter was that Jesus had been enormously popular during his ministry. He had rallies with 5,000, 7,000 people performing miracles in front of them, multiplication of loaves and fishes and raising of dead, all kinds of things like that. But at the moment of his trial and crucifixion, the whole nation deserted him. And only a handful, tiniest handful of his disciples, the two Marys and John and so on, had the nerve to gather at the foot of the cross during the crucifixion. And there was a great empowerment of the Pharisees by lack of support by everybody for Jesus in his last hours. And when we are ashamed of Jesus' words, especially words where he says, beware of the leaven or the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees, and many other words in scriptures warning the church against the peril and dangers of those that Paul calls the enemies of the gospel of Jesus and so on, and we're embarrassed by these clear warnings of scripture to beware of Talmudic Judaism, then we are not neutral. We are actually supporting. We are aiding and abetting Foxman and ABL to continue to move toward establishment of a one-world Judaic government centering in Jerusalem. In other words, there's not a neutral place here. We're either for Christ, we're for the whole truth about the Pharisaic, his warnings about the Pharisaic conspiracy, or we are the opposite. And so that's why I believe that every Christian watchdog talk show host or organization is more than just a forum for discussion or a news source of news dissemination. We are watchmen on the wall. We in the media, we are watchmen on the wall, obligated like Ezekiel to speak the whole truth as soon as it comes to our awareness concerning the enemies that threatens the gates of the city.
All right. And also, before the break, if we can get the question in, what apology, if any, do you think Foxman and his co-religionists should give to Christendom today regarding the murder of Jesus? That's a question that we can address when we come back, I think, because you'll have enough time. Then we'll take a few calls here on the program, all right? Okay, we're talking with Ted Pike. Lots of topics, all interrelated, folks. And let's take that break now. Come right back with him and more of Rick Adams Uncensored.
What have you done? Thousands of years of building and rebuilding, creating and recreating so you can let it crumble to dust. A million years, the sensitive men dying for their dreams. For what? So you can swim and dance and play.
Mm-hmm.
we're back now, and I will take a few calls in a moment. But, Ted, you heard my question to you.
Yes.
Do you think that Abe Foxman particularly and these rabbis who have demonstrated such a proclivity for racial supremacy, do you think some kind of apology to Christians is in order?
Well, absolutely. We have to remember that, you see, Abe Foxman continues to state that the Jews did not kill Jesus Christ. He flat out contends that a historical research shows that this was not only accomplished by the Romans, but was primarily the work of Pontius Pilate and Gentiles and so on. And he tries to give the impression that the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders were not the primary agent. But the truth of the matter is that the Talmud, the highest legal and ethical and religious authority for all religious Jews, is proud of the fact that they crucified Jesus. Listen to this quote from Treatise Sanhedrin 43a out of the Talmud. It says, "On the eve of the Passover, Yeshu, meaning Jesus, was hanged. For 40 days before the execution took place, a herald went forth and cried, 'He is going forth to be stoned because he has practiced sorcery and enticed Israel to apostasy.'" In fact, the Talmud continues and describes how Jesus was killed. It says, "In the process of killing Jesus, all four legal methods of execution, stoning, burning, decapitation, and strangling were employed. He met his death at the age of 33, and it is stated that he had no portion in the world to come." That's also from Treatise Sanhedrin. And so among the Jews, they are very aware that their leadership, their nation, and the representatives of their nation at Passover from all the nations of the world had a hand as a primary motivation behind the killing of Jesus. The Talmud states that the Toldoth, Jeshu, and other rabbinic treatises are absolutely vile in their denunciation of Jesus. And in fact, the Toldoth, Jeshu says that he was not crucified on a tree, but he was crucified on a cabbage stalk, and his body was thrown out and used to plug up irrigation ditches. And then his body was taken and dragged by the tail of a horse before Queen Helena. That's the kind of hatred, bitter hatred, that exists in Talmudic rabbinic literature against Jesus Christ. And so there is an absolutely colossal apology that rabbinic Judaism owes Christian and owes the recipients of the grace and of the atonement of Jesus Christ for 2,000 years, of all that Jesus did coming to earth out of love for the Jewish people and love for all mankind, and laying down his body as a living sacrifice for the sins of the world. We're talking about mea culpas. Foxman and historic Judaism owes the greatest apology that can possibly be imagined to millions and billions of Christians over the millennia who have trusted in the gentle Jesus of Nazareth.
All right, so then maybe some of us should petition particularly these groups and state an apology for them, or at least ask them to compose an apology and circulate a petition to that effect across the Internet.
How's well, that? The very least we should remember is it's not the Christians who should be running from the Jews and hiding out the fear of the Jews. It should be the Jews who should be apologizing and asking tolerance and restitution, generosity from Christians for all of the evil which Jewish supremacism is doing to the world today. What we have here is the emergence of a great apostate, corrupting engine of destruction, which will lead to world government called Babylon the Great, centering in Israel. Already it is corrupting the nation, corrupting our youth, and corrupting the whole world from Jewish-controlled media. It's dominating Wall Street and international finance and the Federal Reserve. It's dominating war-making policy in the Middle East. It is promoting homosexuality, hate crimes laws, trashing of Christian values, tearing down our manger scenes, tearing down our crosses and our Ten Commandments. This is a full-scale assault against Christian society designed to destroy Christianity and capitalism in order that a one-world Judaic system can dominate the world and literally destroy all Christian and Gentile opposition. So I cannot conceive of a greater crime against humanity and against God as these supremacist Jews are involved with. And so the impetus should be on our part to go after them for some kind of straightening up of the moral record.
All right. Let's take a call from Joe in Texas first off. Hello, Joe. You're on with Ted Pike.
Hello,
Joe, are you there?
Yeah, hello, Ted. How are you,
Bill? Fine. Okay, good.
Yeah, you know, Ted, that this basically is a holy war, right?
Yes.
And holy war being because, like, what the Jews, from my experience spiritually, from what my understanding is of the word and spiritually is that when people accept Christ as their personal Savior, they automatically become part of the Hebrew nation and a Jew, and even if they are a Gentile. And that's why I don't understand why the Jews, or I mean, why their mentality is doing this in our government, because I'm seeing it as a holy war, and that's exactly what I think is going on. It's a holy war, and it goes back to what I think with the brothers. I'm not right at this point, man. I want to say Esau and his brother, where he sold his birthright. And by selling his birthright, I think that turned it into a holy war, because it's a battle against brothers, and that's what they don't understand, is that we're all brothers. I mean, don't you agree, Ted?
Well, Scripture says that the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh.
Yes, sir.
And what Jacob stood for was a spiritual birthright, a preciousness, a conception of the preciousness of the right of guarding the sacred legacy leading to Jesus Christ, who would be the Savior of all mankind.
Yes.
And Rabbinic Judaism represents, Esau it certainly does, and represents that way of the flesh which despises the spiritual and is attempts to go out through the physical, through the arm of flesh, to achieve the kind of world dominion that the Scripture spiritually prophesies will come to the meek of the earth, and the meek shall inherit the earth, Christ said, not those who go about like ADL to establish it through all kinds of ulterior motives. The war we're in is a conceptual war. It's a spiritual war.
Yes.
And I think one of the greatest mistakes Adolf Hitler ever made was to take it into a physical war. If he had worked with Charles Lindbergh and Henry Ford and Father Coughlin and others to peacefully educate the nations from 1939 through the next 6 years, instead of launching off into military exploits with the arm of the flesh and the arm of the sword. Jesus said, if you take up the sword, then buy the sword. If he had concentrated on an ideological and even a spiritual illumination of the whole world, I believe that the outcome would have been radically different. And so I repeatedly tell people in the militia groups, the huttery type of people, and people on the far right, if you will, I tell them, you have to pull back from any temptation to go out prematurely into any kind of violent action.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Ted, 100%. And that's what, you know, concerns me about I'm not even going to say, man, Rick would agree with me, I think. I won't even call him Mr. Satoru, but that's where I'm afraid he has us headed also. And I agree with what you're saying, because that's exactly what they're wanting, is a violent I mean, we were, you know, we're seeing it in the unions. We're seeing it in things that, like that. And it's just, you know, it's just, I'm like you, man. Don't raise up arms because, you know, I mean, if God can keep the lions from eating Daniel and keep from, and keep Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from burning in the pit like that, then, I mean, we don't need the weapons. I mean, there's circumstances and occasions, where I'm at today where, yes, you do need that. I go down to the border and, you know, I take a weapon and watch the border as a patriot and as a ex-veteran. But I agree with you that, you know, I pulled many a people out of the river without raising an arm to help them, even though they're not a naturalized citizen. It's part of my human nature to help them if they're drowning, they're hungry, they're thirsty, even though they're not a natural-born citizen. But I'm afraid that if we do raise our arms, there may come a time to that, but I don't think I think that prayer and spirituality and His Word can do a lot more than just brutal.
All right, Joe, thank you very much. Good to hear your voice again. Thanks for your comments. We'll come right back with more calls to text.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
All right, we're back now, and presumably Ted Pike can stay with me. So let's take another call from Joe in Pennsylvania. Hello, Joe. Are you there, Joe? Hello, Joe. Not hearing you. Okay, now we hear you. Go ahead.
Hello, Rick. Hello, Ted.
Hello, Joe.
Yes, hello.
Hi. You know, on the thing about, you know, whether the Jews are responsible for killing Jesus, you know, I don't hold any individual today responsible for what happened 2,000 years ago. That would be absurd. However, I do hold any Jew or Gentile, for that matter, who supports Israel is responsible for the killing of Jesus because they do, in fact, persecute and murder Jews, Christians in Israel. You know, 25% of the Palestinians are Christians, a fact that a lot of so-called Christians choose to neglect. They don't want to even deal with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we look at the fact that communism was financed by the Zionists, and the purpose of communism was to destroy Christianity.
Yes.
So all of those who, you know, took part in that are responsible for the murder of Christ. And Christ himself said this because He said, as you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me.
Yeah.
So anybody that persecutes or kills Christians, anybody that bulldozes the Palestinian Christians' home is responsible as if they were doing it to Christ himself. So in that sense, it's a no-brainer. So,
yeah.
You know, they don't hold us responsible for the killing of Christ 2,000 years ago. Well, fine. You know, that's the ones who did it are the ones who did it. But all of those who participate in the destruction of Christianity today, all of those Jews who support the Talmud, which says it's okay to kill Christians, they're just as guilty, just like you had said, just like Ted had said himself.
Yeah. Well, the biblical ethics are a little different than conventional ethics. Jesus said of the Pharisees that they were literally guilty of all the blood shed from the foundation of the world. And you say, well, how could that be? They weren't even on the scene before the second century B.C. Well, what Jesus is saying is that they were so much at odds with the whole idea of Jesus and his blood sacrifice that if they had been in the Garden of Eden, they would have joined with Cain to kill righteous Abel, who was signifying the death of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah through a killing of a lamb. And so what spiritual ethics basically tell us is that if we join with the thief, we are as guilty as the thief. If we bid God's deed to evil men, we become a partaker of their evil deeds. And this has a very ominous implications for millions of evangelicals who bid God's deed to evil. As you say, as they bulldoze over the houses of Palestinians and they shoot Palestinian children, and all kinds of atrocities too numerous to mention, as the church blindly considers them the apple of God's eye, there are tremendous moral implications to that, which work to the corruption, the moral corruption of the evangelical church. Joe Farah's WorldNet Daily recently authorized a poll of evangelicals and people who are not evangelicals, particularly Jews, and they found that roughly 70% of evangelicals still unconditionally support Israel and consider Israel the apple of God's eye, versus something like 51% of Jews in America, assimilated Jews, who don't support Israel that unconditionally. And so it shows the tremendous complicity, the tremendous blindness of the evangelicals as they are literally helping place stone upon stone to build up the walls of Babylon the Great.
And when you say 70%, that number may have gone down from recent years as more information is coming to light, because I think that number used to even be higher. I think
probably so.
Possibly in the 70s and 80s when you know, Falwell was, you know, at his peak of popularity and so forth. I think, you know, I think that number's gone down a little bit with the advent of the internet and things. And we have to hope, as it continues to go down, that's when, you know, we're going to have a chance of taking this country back. But also,
well, you know, Joe, before I forget, the real hope of America, I can't say for the rest of the world, but the hope of America is to return to our Christian roots, our pietistic Christian traditions that revere God and His law. And what I'm seeing is a tremendous influx of evangelicals coming to our website, truthtellers.org, to participate in our online church. Last month we had 4,500 people coming to our online church at truthtellers.org. And we don't spare anything concerning the whole truth there. We discuss the height and depth of Christian theology, but also political and moral issues as it become appropriate. And I just like to just take this opportunity to invite people. If you are dissatisfied with your Israel First Church, your shallow church, which specializes in rock videos for the kids and pizza parties, and the kids are flooding out of your church at 90% or so, like the rest of the church, for the world, come to Truth Tellers, to our Bible studies, and gather your family around and get a real steak dinner that'll last you all week.
All right. Ted, we're almost out of time here, really, but if you want to take the other call, two calls that we had lined up before, you may.
Sure.
Okay? All right, we'll come right back and we'll round it up, ladies and gentlemen. Be right back.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
We're back now. We don't have a lot of time. I did want to get a couple of other things in the program, so I'm going to try to take these two callers here. We have a few others, but we don't have time for all of them. But okay, Mark is gone. All right, we do have Werner in Canada for Ted Pike. Hello, Werner.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
I didn't get the whole show, but I got the last hour.
Okay.
And you mentioned earlier about what is written in the Talmud about the Lord.
Yes.
But those that show a hatred for the Lord don't say, identify themselves clearly as those that worship Satan. Because when the Lord died on the cross, he ultimately defeated Satan. And those that are the followers of Satan, it is understandable that they are hateful of the Lord.
Yes.
You know? And you mentioned there earlier about, you know, about Holocaust and what happened or what didn't happen. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I think the world should never forget who were the ones that were leading the Russian Revolution, the Communist Revolution, and the millions and millions of people who got murdered, and who were the drivers of that movement, and who were the executioners. So with this Holocaust and us poor Jews, it doesn't wash anymore.
Of course not. Absolutely not.
You know, or the slavery. Who was instigating the slavery and the Holocaust on the black people?
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks to...
People should become aware of the historical facts and figures, you know, and basically the ADL and all those organizations, they won't have a leg to stand on anymore, and they won't be able to exploit the people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your comments there, Werner. Appreciate them. I think the caller that was there before, is he there, Terry? Is that you? Terry from Texas? Are you there?
I am there, Rick.
Okay, all right.
Quick,
not much time. Go ahead,
I had to call and I had no choice. Quick question. Who is our cornerstone?
Ted Pike?
Yeah, Reverend Pike. Who is our cornerstone?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. They're taking a page out of our own playbook. Who, or should I say, what is their cornerstone that they've invested all their time and energy in? What is their stone of stumbling? What is their rock of offense?
Rejection of Jesus Christ.
No, their stone of stumbling, their rock of offense is the Holocaust. If you can tear that whole thing down, they've invested so much into that. They've got everybody hook, line, and sinker on this. You can't talk about it. You get thrown in jail in many countries. They have complete immunity about being able to talk to it, and they're taking it. That is their and so going back to being the verse about being ashamed upon judgment, I leave you with this, Reverend Pike. Direct me to the website that produces the T-shirts that say Holocaust denier, because I need to order a dozen.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that.
I'm teasing, but this is their stone. This is their cornerstone
Right
here.
Uh-huh.
I really think that's their cornerstone from which they can build all this stuff in, because it makes them untouchable.
Yes, it's certainly a monumental part of that cornerstone. The problem is their ability to proliferate lies faster than the world can keep up with the mythologies that they have already established is truly astounding. And as we've been talking about here tonight, Foxman is manufacturing new twisted values and realities as we speak. And I certainly appreciate people like Mark Weber, who's been on this program, I believe, a number of times, and David Irving and others who have shed very great truth and light upon the whole history of World War II. But what it takes today is not just revisionists to look back to the Holocaust and try to straighten that out, or even other things like the U.S. Liberty attack and others. These are all very important issues, but we need people who are on literally the front lines of battle, responding daily, weekly, to the latest assaults and perversions of ADL. And that's what we try to do at truthtellers.org, along with Rick and other people who are trying to fulfill the mandate of Ezekiel 43 to be a watchman on the wall to the nation.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Terry, but... Ted, it's been a long program, actually, and we're just smack dab out of time right now, but it has been very interesting once again, and all I can say is continue to educate people as to what these rascals are up to and what they're doing, and we will have to continue to update it on a regular basis, hopefully.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Yes, and once again, the web address is truthtellers.org, www, right?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you again so much. All right.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. All right. It's been a very lengthy dissertation. We weren't supposed to go that long, but we did. And thank him for joining us.